You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is Alexi Lalas. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Come on. Bye, Coastal Cooligans.
That's right, baby. Yep. The only bye we are.
Oh, speak for yourself, buddy.
That's true. Yeah, it depends on how much victory champagne is flowing.
We're here to enjoy ourselves, not judge each other.
Yeah, we're not judging nobody, baby. Get out there, do what you do.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome to the show. Another super exciting, super secret, super special second episode of the week, Cooligans. Thanks to all the Gully Squad members for helping to make that happen.
Yo, this is, you know, I mean, we keep doing these second episodes, and then like the weeks we don't do it, I'm like, oh, come on.
Well, I mean, we didn't do it last week because it was Thanksgiving. So not much was going on, you know, that weekend, but I think we're
still, man. I really like this second episode a week.
Yeah, made up as far as for not having one last week. This one's gonna be a doozy because holy smokes, look, we record that our podcast on Tuesdays, and you would think that in just two more days of American soccer reality, you know, like how much could really happen? But actually, a lot can happen. Too much can happen.
You know what? What's annoying is people know when we record. Can't you just get the news cycle to match what we're doing?
They do know. They do know. Everyone knows. Everyone knows. We contact every GM and executive at every MLS team. And even we hit up the Premier League, you know, the Premier League teams as well, just in case, you know, we BCC them. But so they know they shouldn't be, you know, playing with our yeah. podcast like this, because we need to get this information before, you know, before we hit the record button.
Directly and indirectly. I mean, if anything, let us know beforehand, okay? Like, so, in particular, David Villa leaves the team 15 minutes after we finish recording our podcast.
How dare he? look, all right. Welcome to the show. If this is your first time listening, my name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerrero.
And together we are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians in New York City that host a soccer podcast. It is not only the funniest soccer podcast that you've ever listened to, but it is also what, Alexis?
Oh, it just so happens to be the gulliest brat.
Exactly. It's the gulliest brat. And you figure out what that means, okay?
Yeah, by the way, if you were gully, you know exactly what that means.
So, look, I mean, this soccer podcast will not only make you more informed, make you learn, you know, you learn a little bit, you'll laugh a little bit, but it'll also make you, you know, kind of be a little tougher during these holidays. You know, you're going to have like a Christmas dinner and, you know, grandma's not going to cross the line. All right. You know, she'll know that you keep it real, that you keep it gully as hell because you listen to this show.
She knows you mean business.
That's right. Grandma. All right.
That's right.
So yo, check yourself, granny.
Yo, no more of that disrespect. I don't know if the doctor's messing with your meds, but you need to chill right now.
All right, I'll have babies when I feel like it. All right,
hell yeah. Why don't you enjoy this gummy bear that's individually wrapped? Don't ask me why it's like that.
So, look, there's a lot we have to cover. Right now I'm in New York. And it is 2:30 in the morning. Alexis is in Los Angeles. We wanted
to make 11:30.
Sure. It's 11:30. You know, we're way past your bedtime.
This is ridiculous. I'm supposed to be showering to go out right now, not talking to you.
So, but we had to make this happen for you because the playoffs have just been nuts. But we're gonna get to the games in a second. There's a couple things that we just need to recap because We'll talk about Villa. We'll talk about Tommy Mack in a second. But we have to start with the way we started earlier this week in our first episode of the week with Jermaine Jones. Jermaine Jones.
I mean, what better way? Hey, look, you know, this story just does not stop. And actually, after this last update, please stop.
Please stop. Now it's gone. Jermaine, you've jumped the shark. I get that, I don't know if it's sweeps week out in American soccer land, but now it's gone too far. So obviously, if you listen to the episode earlier this week, we're joking around, the back and forth. Will they, won't they, just publicly melting down and really being very, very public about very private things, right? In his relationship.
Also, he got too gully.
He got too gully. And occasionally this happens from time to time. We have to mention when someone has gone over the gully line.
Right. When our galometer starts to vibrate.
Yeah. Okay. We've broken so many galometers.
Oh God, we have to Amazon just thank God we're Prime. You know, we get them in 2 days. It's good.
So Jermaine Jones, I know a lot of people haven't. There's a couple people who've been who tweet at us saying like, "Oh, thanks to the Cooligans for keeping me abreast with what's going on in Jermaine Jones's life because of."
But also, we just want to make it clear, David Chavez did not message anything about breasts to us. Abreast just means up to date.
Sure. We don't want to make any. We don't want to make accusations. We've learned from Jermaine Jones's mistakes, right? So
yeah, we also learned that Jermaine Jones will put on a diaper and drive to New York to confront us.
Jermaine Jones is also an astronaut, so that's good news.
Yeah.
That's why, you know those astronauts are. So Jermaine Jones, the reason we're bringing him up again is because, so I was mentioning that some people have been thankful to us because his account is private, so they don't really know what's going on. So we, they listen to the show to hear about it. But this piece of news, they didn't need the Cooligans because this was right on TMZ. And weren't we just talking about how Jermaine Jones, all he has to do is keep it quiet. Don't really post about this stuff because
we were just making that suggestion.
We said don't post about it because you're adding way more attention to yourself that you don't need. And what ended up happening was TMZ gets this scoop about a restraining order filed against Jermaine Jones by David. What is it, Charvet or Chavez?
Chavez, dude, like a fat kid in an ice cream shop, they get the big scoop.
So this is where we currently are. Jermaine Jones has a restraining order filed against him. And look, we were kind of just joking around, teasing, making fun of him for being like kind of, just going just back and forth, and posting his wife's underwear and accusing her of an affair and cheating and all this other stuff. And now it feels, obviously, a restraining order is like as serious. It's pretty serious now. And
it's pretty serious. That's on record.
The reason he got a restraining order was because he was apparently texting or sending mean messages to David Chavez. And he also sent a picture of his assault rifle. That's when David was like, okay, Jermaine.
Being real French, getting scared because he sees a gun.
I've been listening to the Cooligans and I was laughing along up until this point. I was getting photos.
Now all of a sudden, this is gun. I wonder if David Chavez was just listening to our podcast because we hadn't said his name until now. And he's like, oh my God, this is me?
I had no clue.
Shit. I was laughing along at this whole thing.
Hey, this ain't funny anymore, guys.
Oh, God damn it.
look, obviously, it's incredibly unfortunate. And I'm hoping it does not go past, sending pictures of your gun to a person.
That's having gone too far. Stop it there.
Yeah.
Calm down. Solve your problems in the most private way possible from here on in. Please don't try to shoot nobody. Look, you know, getting cheated on is a rough situation for anybody. So you can imagine you have kids with each other. You can imagine how angry you feel, especially since we've been talking about this. He's gone back to being like, yo, I was so wrong. Wait a minute. No, I wasn't.
Yeah.
So clearly he feels completely jaded. And I know this is why you guys tune in to the Cooligans is an update on. I mean, this is a podcast of two comedians talking about
shit. What's Jermaine up to today? Breaking.
This is two comedians. We're on separate sides of the country, and we've talked for 10 minutes about what a retired soccer player's love life is.
This is the lead story on the Cooligans, okay?
This is incredible, but... You know, we talked about it, and we feel like partially responsible somehow.
Well, look,
to what happens?
It's just, I think that, you know, to me, this is like we have to cover our ass because what if something does happen, and then it's like, oh, the Cooligans were just, you know, joking around, being all silly, and look at what happened. And not to say that our jokes would influence this situation one bit, but now at this point, we got to be like, okay, well, the humor gets sucked out of the situation.
Yeah,
a bit.
You know, it's like funny when you're roasting your friends, you know.
Yeah.
And then one of them punches the other one, and we're like, oh, well, it's just serious all of a sudden.
Oh, you guys really didn't like each other.
Oh, y'all were holding on to something.
I thought it was just jokes.
Shit, I thought we was all cool right here. I thought everybody was cool making fun of each other. This one seemed to have taken it one step too far.
Yeah, so look, hopefully this is where it ends. I mean, not the jokes, but the gravity of the situation. Yes, get separated, get divorced, do what you got to do. Take care of these kids, raise the family. There's still, there's still a lot of important things to sort out. So.
Think of the kids, Jermaine. Think of the kids.
Hopefully he's listening to this or somebody who has his phone number and can just text him exactly that.
Or if you have his phone number, then you can text him a link to this podcast. So you can listen to it and then he'll understand. You got to think of the kids. And maybe he'll subscribe.
Imagine Jermaine. Our next review is from Jermaine Jones.
I want to thank these two funny guys for making me rethink a situation that's happening in my life.
these two strangers were very funny, and they really just shone a light on just something really important in my life. So,
and then a week later, he can hate us.
So, all right. So, look, let's get over because again, this happened after we recorded our show last week, and it's been official. David Villa officially is leaving New York City Football Club. It has been reported by I believe it was Pablo Mar who broke the story on The Athletic that his next stop will most likely be Japan.
And he's going to play with Iniesta.
His homie.
His homie is Ace Bull Kuhn. Here's my thing. People have talked about it. It's sad as a fan of the league. It's sad when someone who came in and played DP at the level that he has leaves. You know, it was sad when Robbie Keane left, you know, because he's another one of those players that clearly came in here as an older DP and loved it. And I think you're seeing, you know, Zlatan is a bit of a throwback, but it was kind of his style to always feel, you know, he's felt he's bigger than any of the leagues he's been in. So that's just kind of his style. So I don't know that he's a throwback in that sense, but he is a throwback to a bit more of a mercenary, like a guy you bring in to be the best player on the team and get the job done and make your team better. You know, David Villa, to me, is much more in the mold of the type of player that came in and wanted to help elevate the level of the league. He wanted to make the team around him better in the sense that he wanted to sort of inspire people to do better and work within the confines of the team as opposed to be like, I'm amazing, give me the ball. And that's the kind of captain you want. That's the kind of DP you want. Someone not too dissimilar from how Wayne Rooney is, you know?
Yeah.
Wayne Rooney came in and he hasn't been like, yo, I'm amazing, give me the ball. He's been like, what could I do to make the team better? To his credit, even though he wasn't a DP when he first came in the league, BWP is the same way. Someone who's like, no, I want to be a part of the team and I want to help make it better. Guys like It's a little different in Atlanta because there's so many players that have come from Latin America that it seems like they're playing together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make a sense? It's not just one player coming in. So Atlanta's a bit of a different, Orlando is a little bit of a different situation. Even LAFC is a little bit of a different situation. But like Vela, I'm not 100% sure that he's from that same ilk. You know what I mean? He seems like he's one of those players where it's a bit more cosmopolitan that he's there and he feels
Vela,
that way.
I don't think Vela even wants to play the sport. He's just like,
yeah, no. He's like, well, I'll do this when there's no NBA game.
I've never seen such a casually disinterested player who's also amazing at his job.
It's really annoying because you can look around and see players that absolutely want to be amazing and are nowhere near as good as he is. And he's just like, oh, I guess I'll just put a curler in the top corner.
Yeah.
But like Rossi. Rossi is one of those players who comes in and wants to make everyone better. There's a lot of them. And David Villa, to me, is kind of in that mold. That he's one of those players, kind of like how, you know, I'm trying to think of someone else. It's just like a Valeri or a Piatti. Like, these are the players that are, like, trying to like, inspire everyone around them to be better. And David Villa was that. You know, he's one of those captains that would play his ass off every minute of every game. That's what you love.
We can go on about Villa. I mean, from a personal standpoint, I mean, you know, I knew of David Villa, you know, through, like, he was great in like, you know, FIFA for several years, and you always knew about him. But then watching him in the Euros, in the World Cup, like at Barcelona, clearly like a legend, right? And when he, you know, was signed as the first player for NYCFC, I was like, oh, cool. Like, it still didn't hit me because I hadn't seen him like play so regularly. That of just how amazing of a player he actually is, just from the beginning, from the first year, just leaps and bounds better than it's like he stepped on American soil and was like all of a sudden the best player in the US. You know what I mean? Like it was just so noticeable, and you know, obviously we got to you know, work with him and for designated player and all that stuff, and like, so we got to know him maybe on a little bit more of a personal level, just because like I feel like we actually got to have conversations with him that weren't solely fan, you know fan and then athlete conversation. You know, he was like a little bit, you know, like more disarmed. He was like more chill to talk to, and it's pretty devastating. I don't know. Just like as a fan of the team, as a fan of him, it is like I'm generally concerned about the future of NYCFC. I'm like, I don't know what he was so clearly the identity of the team, that who is gonna fill that role? Even if you find a player that is gifted technically, like he is, then you still worry that there's like, oh, that the same drive, that same personality that was infectious with the other players. I don't know if that's going to be easy to replace.
Here's the other thing too. Like, you know, if you're an NYCFC fan, you're fearing now that the team may go out and just get some older player that sells tickets because their ticket numbers have been going down. Year over year, not an incredible leaps and bounds, but it's certainly a lot less season tickets now than in the previous past. It's a big concern. Part of it, big part of it really is the stadium. Just the fact that there's not even like, you know, Jesus Christ, there's not even like a note of a, they haven't even decided what borough, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the fans have no clue if a stadium is ever even going to happen. So, you know, the fear is that they just go out and get someone that isn't really going to be a David Villa style captain. He's just going to be, you know, just one of these guys that's like, yo, I'm amazing, but I'm old and I can't play well anymore. But like a Pirlo, and they go out and sell tickets. Like, that's not what any of the fans want. Yeah. And also, I don't think I mentioned this to you. So, you know, I did that video with Copa 90. It should be coming out soon, where Aaron West is doing, they're doing like a challenge. Aaron West, Mike LaBelle, it was myself, and it was a gentleman named Fernando, who is one of the co-founders of Metro Fan TV. he said something that I'd never heard. He said that he's a little bitter about the David Villa thing because apparently he was supposed to go to Red Bulls.
Oh.
But he thinks, or this is what he says, and I've never heard this before or anywhere else. He says that the league told him to hold off because a new team was starting in New York City.
Interesting. So,
yeah, had you heard that before?
I had not heard that before.
Me neither. Huh.
Okay.
Could just be conspiracy theory.
Could be. I mean, you know, I wouldn't put it past MLS to do something like that.
Of course not. As soon as you said, I'm like, yes, that makes sense.
Oh, this is 100% truth. Okay, I get it.
Yeah. Oh, a deal was almost done, but the league intervened because it made better sense for them to do this way. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Look, I mean, it's not the first, and it won't be the last time MLS kind of moves the chess pieces themselves to kind of configure the things the way they want them. A bummer. I think for a lot of teams, maybe not all, you know, I feel like the last it makes me think of just the last game, right, against Atlanta, and I think, you know, Villa choosing to not sort of wave to the away fans at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, him being a little bit more aggressive, like there was a couple fouls that he kind of got away with and elbows and whatever, and I think it was, now in hindsight you're like, oh, he probably knew he wasn't coming back and was so frustrated. He really wanted to give a trophy to the NYCFC supporters, and he was really angry that he didn't have the opportunity to do that. I think you it doesn't justify, like, you know, kind of throwing a bit of a tantrum or whatever, or unnecessary fouls, but you can see how much he really wanted to win, and that's how he expressed himself. So
he's also one of those players that even if you hate NYCFC, you can't really hate him.
Exactly.
You know, maybe he rolled, you know, a little bit too much against your team, or maybe it was like an unnecessary foul against one of your players. But that guy got kicked around a lot too. So this is probably, he's like, fine, if I'm out of MLS, I'm going to get one of these guys back.
Yeah.
But he's just one of those players that everybody, you know, gutted it out every time, and everyone probably loved him.
I assume so too. Yeah. So now the future of Major League Soccer will not include David Villa. I think that's the big surprise, at least for me, that he is not retiring. He's leaving. So it clearly was probably a contract, disagreement. I can't imagine NYCFC, they probably didn't want to give him a DP contract. He definitely deserves one with the way he plays, but he is getting older, a couple injuries. He was missing.
Yeah. I don't agree that he deserves one. Actually,
based on his skill, I would say so, but maybe not.
But you're also talking about a year older. You know what I mean? Like, right. You know, at some point you have to stop paying someone for what they used to do and pay them for what they're going to do.
I agree. I don't think he was worth the same, you know, whatever, almost $6 million, but I think he was worth a DP contract, maybe for $2 million or something like that. So, but he can get much more somewhere else. So, you know, you can't blame him for that. But from all accounts and everything I see, he talked about it as well on Designated Player. He is not done with New York. He will play somewhere else in 2019, but I believe he's going to be staying and living in New York in the future, or at least spending a lot of time here, because he's still committed. He has all the soccer academies across the country, in the Caribbean. And so he sort of needs to still be here pretty often, because he seems to be making an investment in the American soccer space in the country. So it won't be the last of David Villa that we see. So
Luca Villa, you know, you got to wait 10 years, but he's going to be the next U.S. youth national team player.
Imagine. Little kid. What? Little Villa. All right. That'd be dope.
Sweet baby Villa.
So another player who left NYCFC, of course, Tommy McNamara. And if you don't know Tommy McNamara, the Chivas USA legend. NYCFC midfielder who we took out on a pizza tour.
The OG pizza tour.
Right? Okay. The first and only. We took him out.
Well, the first.
The first, right? So we took him out on a pizza tour early this year. He in the off season, this was the thing that we were trying to do for how long? Probably about a year prior. We were trying to find somebody that would be interested enough in doing this, and we thought it would be fun, and we talked
and
about
we were
it.
Also trying, just we were sending so many different pitch ideas to what's his face, to Tommy McNamara's like representation, trying to get them to say like, yeah, this is a good idea. And out of nowhere we get a response back saying, hey, I think Tommy really likes the pizza idea.
Yeah, and that was the beginning of something. You know what? The fact that he said yes to that kind of changed what 2018 was like for us, because I was like, that was our preseason, and we got started with something huge. That was like so fun, so unique, and people got to see your damn Rain Man level of awareness and knowledge about pizza.
My ridiculous pizza knowledge.
So people got to see a side of you as well. So look, Tommy McNamara, his option did not get picked up by NYCFC.
Also,
so
give yourself some credit, because a lot of the fans really loved watching your disdain for my love of food.
Oh, sure. I can. I'm pretty consistent with that part.
Yeah, no, I mean, but it's nice to see it visually.
Oh,
you know?
Sure. So the NYCFC did not pick up Tommy McNamara's option. He will be moving on. I personally think he will get a job very quickly in MLS. He is, I think in 2018, I don't think he was, I don't want to say he wasn't used properly, but he didn't, he clearly did not fit with the future of NYCFC and how they played. He's not as dynamic of a player as some of the other midfielders for the team, but the dude, when you have a cannon for a right boot, you're going to get a job somewhere. The dude, he can bang in 30, 35 yard goals with some ease, and it's he'll be fine somewhere.
Well, I mean, look, people need midfielders who can score, and he's one of them.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, tough to see him go because he was super cool to us and gave us a big opportunity, and he's just a really chill guy, and he seems like the type of guy that, you know, you want to see do well. And then when Domi comes in, I mean, he wasn't playing a ton under Patrick Vieira, but it seemed like he was a little bit more of an opportunity to be a sub coming in, like a late sub, super sub kind of guy.
Well, Tommy, Tommy was one of the, three captains that NYCFC has had. It's really only been Villa, Chanel, and Tommy Mac. I don't know who else. Maybe Maxi has worn it once or twice, but it's usually...
I didn't even remember that. But I do know that the two, him and David Villa, were the last holdouts of the season.
From the first season, yeah. So now...
Wow.
It is officially a completely different team from what, you know, the expansion team looked like. So,
but one thing remains the same: no stadium.
No stadium. Okay, that's they've kept their promise. So
that's right.
So look, how much heartbreak are we gonna deal with? Why are you doing this to us? But it is what it is. That is the business of soccer, and sometimes you have to deal with that. So, speaking of the business, all right, the playoffs are here, and the MLS Cup final is officially 8 days, and we know who is finally going to be playing. It is Atlanta United going to be hosting the Portland Timbers, and the way they both got there,
which was my prediction.
Did I predict that as well? I also said it. Yeah, I said so. I said last week. I said before the game, I just felt, I'm like, the Timbers, they, when they're make a deep run into the playoffs, they're just all this, there's always, they have some magic, they have always something happens in their favor that's just incredible, and they did not disappoint when it came to that. So let's talk about both of the games, right? So the first game, Rebels hosting Atlanta United. 3-0 down aggregate, and okay. So first off, shout out to Sean, for the tickets. Remember, I mentioned them last in the last episode. That thank you for the tickets to the game. He is from Austin, but he has season tickets to the Red Bulls because I guess he comes to New York very often. So that's like. So
you have what level of commitment, huh?
There's
people who live across the street from the stadium and they don't got tickets. This dude's in Austin.
We gotta praise these people, okay, that are this committed to the game. So shout out, thank you so much. And you were obviously you're in Los Angeles, you couldn't go, but the game in itself was a rough game, right? We up 3-0 for Atlanta, you know. That they're just going to, I mean, Mourinho parked the bus all day. I mean, why even?
Why would you give them a chance, right? If you're Tata, you're like, hey, we did what we did. They're going to have to beat all 11 of our guys.
Yeah. And props to Atlanta. I mean, they just did their job. They had no interest in making the game sexy, fun, or exciting. It wasn't like the RSL Sporting Kansas City game. In the semifinal, this was just straight up, we're not going to really let you bounce the ball around, especially not inside the box. And Rebels couldn't create any chances. I mean,
it's just so hard to try to break down a team when they're all sitting back there and not even trying to score on their own, unless you really give them a chance.
Yeah. Frustrating to watch. I mean, I'm still physically in pain, mostly because it was pretty cold. And you know, when you get cold and when you're cold for so long that your muscles just tense up because that's your only way to like keep your organs warm, right? And that's what I was trying to do. And now my back hurts. I'm like, right now my back is killing me from just clenching all my muscles in my back to try to stay as warm as possible. And it's worse that the game was not entertaining. Just frustrating. I can understand Rebels fans being very frustrated with the team. And, you know, Rebel fans mad at us. Just, out there. I was taking, like, Instagram stories and catching up with some Atlanta people and whatever. And I can get the sense of, like, you know, sometimes people are concerned about, like, if we... What's the word? Like, are we impartial? Is that what people expect from us? I don't really know.
We're unbiased, right? And I think that's important. Look, in the past, you know, do we make fun of other teams? Yeah. Do we make fun of our own? Absolutely. Look, if you look at our Instagram content, okay? If at any point we would have done something that was pro Red Bull, it would have thrown the balance off. Because we're not trying to be pro anything. It's undeniable that we have fans from Atlanta. And when they're up here and they invite us to go say hello, we're going to do that. Bruh, have we ever been invited to by the Rebel fans to say hello? No. So why would we do that?
Yeah, but we do get a lot of love. I mean, shout out to...
We've also been told to probably stay away from some of those tailgates.
That's happened as well, right? So, and that is speaking to... That's just soccer fans in general. Some people are more passionate than others. Some people are like... They have different boundaries, you know? I spent the first half of the game hanging out with Nick Lajman and his family. Remember we hung out with them for the CONCACAF Champions League, hanging out with his kids.
Hell yeah.
And they're season ticket holders for Red Bulls for years, huge fans. And that's why it reminds me of the stuff with the Super Clásico, right? Remember that there was a video of that guy talking about how much he loves he was from Hribed, and he was like, I love my Boca brothers and sisters, and what happened shouldn't have happened. And there's a clear understanding, like, and I always love the sign, like, we're rivals, not enemies, right?
And yeah, and look, don't get it twisted, dude. There's some, my homie Yuri, he's literally been a season ticket holder since day one.
Yeah.
Right? And guess what happened? When they lost 3-0, I gave my dude a day. I gave him an entire, I gave him 24 hours after, like, after midnight from that game. I was like, I'm not even talking to my man. 24 hours. I gave him a day, and then I hit him up. I'm like, yo, how you feeling? What are you thinking about the next one? What do you think went wrong? First thing he said was, thank you for giving me a day to sort of reconnect. I know what's happening. And look, we've gotten some messages on our Twitter and our Instagram in the past and recently. I get it. You know, you're upset. This is rough. This sucks. And you want to take it out on us because you don't think we're riding for you. Dude, we're not riding for anybody.
Yeah. That's really all it is, man. It's like it's important, at least to us, to like, you know, it should be fun. And it's not like, you know, when NYCFC lost, it wasn't like people, you know, we can make fun, like whatever. Like it's like there isn't this like as American soccer fans in general, like I don't know if it feels a little weird to be so not to not have a rivalry, but like to be like, again, we're rivals, not enemies. You know, I think that should always be a clear like distinction. But look, they were going into this game 3-0 down. I mean, no one expected too much. But look, I'll give a lot of props to the Rebel fans, because I thought, you know, it wasn't sold out and whatever, but there were a lot of people there. It wasn't, especially with how cold it was and 3-0 down and whatever, a lot of people did show up, and the Rebel supporters were loud and up until, and they knew the mountain they had to climb, but they showed a lot of love and a lot of respect to you know, to the players. And
Let's keep it real. Mark Fishkin even put this up. 3-0 loss to them. He thought that was going to mean no one was going to go to the game.
Yeah.
Because it would be cold. And, oh, they're 3-0. There's no chance. Watching that game, I was like, yo, it really feels like the fans believe they can come back from this. And that's not something that's been a hallmark of the Red Bull fan base.
Yeah, I genuinely felt that. As the game started, and I was sitting in section 107 when I was hanging out with Nick, and I felt like how loud they were, and I was like, oh man, this is like something that could happen tonight, but nothing did.
Well, I mean, look, once again, you know, you're not the first team to fall to the hands of Atlanta United.
Yeah.
They're a great team,
and
I know I said that I thought it would be them versus Portland, and I thought Portland would win. Giuseppe Verace is doing some magical stuff, but I would not be surprised if Atlanta won.
The MLS Cup?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. This matchup in particular is a toss up for me. I honestly do not know who will win. If it was Sporting Kansas City and Atlanta, I would have probably favored Atlanta a little bit more. But with this one, I don't know. So real quick.
It's absolutely a toss-up.
A couple of things with this Rebel game. Again, props to them getting still an incredible season. The best season in MLS ever. But unfortunately, with all the heartbreak that Rebel fans have dealt with, it doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. You've won the Supporters Shield before, and unfortunately, that's, you know, it has to like end with like, you know, that isn't enough anymore. So the other thing, there was something thrown at Miguel Almirón that hit his face. I couldn't tell what it was, but
somebody posted a video and tagged us in it. So somebody said it was a cup.
Okay. I couldn't tell what it was from afar, cause I was on the other side, but already like, no, right. We know not to do that. We can't condone it, especially hitting a player. I think Almirón definitely, you know, I think he played it up a little bit more than...
He sold it,
but still, it's just, like, just, you know, Rebel Arena is one of the greatest arenas in the U.S. to watch soccer, man. Like, it's just like, there should be a little bit more class. And this happened at Children's Mercy Park as well. There was stuff thrown as well. So it's just, we got to.
Vermes had to go out on the field himself and be like, hey, guys, calm down. So it's not just Rebel Arena, for sure. For surely not. Things have been thrown in every stadium, probably in MLS at this point. But come on, you can't, like, I get throwing a beer, but dude, trying to hit a player is, first of all, the guy did it, it's like in the first row. Like, what are you doing? You think cameras aren't, on? This guy's about to take a corner.
Exactly. So, but obviously the Rebels got one goal from Tim Parker, just too little too late. Overall frustrating, for them in that game, but,
let me say this. I hate when people call this a win. This doesn't feel like a win to anybody.
Oh, no. No.
So you beat them 1-0? No, I mean, yeah, technically. Yeah. But no one's going to think that walking away.
They shout out to the – there were a lot of Atlanta United supporters that came through that took the – either took a drive or flew. But I do want to highlight one particular group because La Doce, the Atlanta, they got to Rebel Arena, I believe, at like – 10 a.m. or 8 a.m. They got there super early, in very cold weather, to start the festivities. But insane, and they were at their tailgate. They were just nuts. There was one dude that I have to tell this story because this was so insane. I was there. With Harry Hibbert. Shout out to Harrison Hibbert, who's always on Twitter hitting us up. A great dude, and Brandon, who told me about the tailgate. And there was one dude who, as I was walking there, there were some people there that recognized me, and we had done shows, and they said hello and stuff like that. So this dude started like hugging me and he was like leaning on me, and I thought I was like, oh, I guess he's like a Cooligans fan. I don't know, like, we're to the point where, like, if I was just on the street somewhere, I would be like, why are you doing that? But I was just like, oh, okay, whatever. He's a stranger, but I'm sure he knows my work or whatever.
Yeah, well, just an adoring fan.
So then he's like kind of leaning on me like he's like either drunk or sick or something. And so then I start getting concerned, but then I start thinking like, oh, he's just having a good time. And then he pulls away from me, and he's like, he has a beer in his hand. He's like cheering. And then he starts like pounding, like hitting his chest, not pounding his chest, like hitting his chest, like he has chest pain or something. And I'm like, dude, like, are you okay? And everybody around, we're all looking at him like, dude, are you, now I'm concerned because I think something's wrong. And I'm asking him like, dude, are you okay? What's wrong? What's wrong? And he's like, my rib. I'm like, what? And he's like, my rib. I broke my rib. I'm like, yo, are you serious? Like, this is just like, people are just waving flags. I don't know what he did that could have broken a rib. But he keeps touching his like sternum. And he's like, I broke my rib. And I'm like, yo, you're right. And he's holding his beer. And then I'm like genuinely scared. And now other Atlanta United fans are going up to him. And like, dude, you're right. And then after like maybe 15, 20 seconds of his like, he's like in pain or whatever, he just lifts his beer up and he goes, yeah, and just cheers again. And then everybody's like, oh, he's fine. I don't even know.
What an oddball.
it was insane. And then I even saw him from, because he had his shirt off. I saw him in the stands like cheering. So he's fine. This dude, I don't know his name, but he was lit as hell. And I think his rib is not broken. I think he was just having too much fun. So
a little too much fun for sure.
Let's talk real quick. Let's talk about Sporting Kansas City and Portland. After this game, after Rebel Arena, I get a text from Eric, the homie Eric Keating. And
shouts to Eric Keating,
Timbers Army, and he tells me like, yo, we're gonna be at Smithfield Hall. I'm like, all right, cool, I'll head over there. Made it in time. I caught the second half. As soon as I get there, Sebastian Blanco scores one of the greatest goals I've ever seen in my life.
What a scorcher. I think it was one of the greatest goals Diego Valeri's ever seen in his life.
Diego Valeri's like, yo, as soon as it went in, he was like, yo, can I see that replay? I don't even want to. Yeah. I can't even celebrate right now because I need to see that replay.
Diego Valeri does the VAR symbol so he could go over to the side and watch the goal again.
Oh, my God. Did we ever talk about that time? Was it Bakary Sagna that got a yellow card for peeking over the referee shoulder during a video review?
Yeah, you brought it up.
I did bring it up. I don't remember. Okay, cool. So, yeah, this obviously Portland wins this game 3-2. Going in 0-0 in the aggregate, obviously I didn't think it happened, but a goal from Dalian Shalloui kind of puts this, Sporting Kansas City are good at home, right? But again, it's the Portland Timbers. This is a different kind of team. All right. They play with they have a little bit of, like knock on wood, no pun intended. Right. But they knock on that slab and it gives them a little bit more, charm. But once this Shalloui goal went in, you started to feel like, all right, they only needed, even if it ended in a draw, Portland would have won. But
right, because of the away goals. And actually, I got a text from a buddy of mine who's not a soccer fan, not a soccer hater. And he's probably a bit of a casual soccer fan, but he's not someone that follows sports. But he's from Kansas, doesn't follow the sport. He's from Kansas City. And this is the power of the MLS Cup playoffs, okay? The guy decides, I got to rep for Kansas City. I got to watch my Sporting Kansas City play. And he kept texting me, I don't understand. He's like, I get the rules. But it doesn't feel right that a game can end in a tie, yet one of the team wins. And I tried to explain to him, I'm like, aggregate the two. And he's like, I understand the rules. It just doesn't feel right to watch a game end in 2-2. This is back when it was 2-2. And have one team be the victor. And to me, it's like, that's like when Shalloui's goal goes in, the level of energy and the shift in power that Portland had to make to be able to overcome that to me is why the away goals work.
Yeah. Well,
like the emphasis is like, go score. If not, you just sit back and do what Atlanta did. That would be every playoff game. No one would ever try to score.
This is why I think the Timbers have a really good shot in the final. Specifically because they've been able to come back during these playoffs in so many games. How many times were they down? How many times did you sort of count them out? How could they come back from that Seattle game? That second leg was insane. That back and forth, and they won in penalties against in the knockout game, right? In the knockout game and against Seattle. So they've just been through such an emotional roller coaster that I think they can probably get it done in Atlanta. Like, it's just Atlanta's good, and they're playing, these playoffs have they're sort of, to me, they're playing the best soccer that they've played all year, and it happens to be in the playoffs. So they have some consistency, but Portland has just that energy. I don't know, man. It's gonna be a great game without a doubt. But
I said this last week. I said Atlanta versus Portland would be the MLS Cup final, and I said Portland would win it in Atlanta. And this is why I think that is because you may know how Atlanta's going to play, but you can't stop them. You're not 100% sure how Portland's going to play.
Yeah.
You can't really plan for pandemonium. And that's kind of how it feels watching them. Like, yes, they have a system and they certainly have a way of playing, but they have so many different gears they can go to.
Yeah.
That to me, it's like, there's just something so... It's fun because it works. If they didn't win, this would be the absolute worst coaching style. And you'd hate Gio Savarese. But because they're winning, you look at this and you go, you know what? It's fun. I kind of want to see this all the time because I don't know what I'm going to get.
Yeah, I without a doubt. I mean, we spent time in Portland and we see how passionate they are about the team and how, like, even hanging out with the Portland fans out in New York, I mean, they were just losing their minds. It's just so significant. But props to Gio Savarese, first year head coach. You were coaching the Cosmos. You won there, and in NASL, and now you took in your first year, took the Timbers to the MLS Cup final, and
they did. I thought he was getting fired by the 10th game.
They had a terrible start, but
five game losing streak.
Yeah. Well, that's why MLS is so fun, right? Because you can have those bad starts and things can work out.
Well, it's not just us. Look, Mourinho still has a job, right? So, like, you could just be a terrible coach sometimes and keep your job in other leagues. It's not just ours.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't pick on us. All right. There's a lot of trash coaches out there.
Hell yeah. So, but look, Severacy, I'm not sure exactly what the change he made was. And there's going to be a billion think pieces if he does win the league or the cup, I should say. But I got to be honest, I'm really excited for this game.
Yeah, same here. So December 8th, MLS Cup final. We will be there in Atlanta. And
we're waiting to find out whether we have press passes. We'll know we'll be in Atlanta. We're not sure if we're going to get to go to the game.
Yeah, we just might watch it at your house. So
yeah, Jay Riddle will take over the crib while you're at the game.
So hopefully all that works out. So we're gonna be thrilled. I'm excited about just going to Atlanta again. I mean, that's like becoming our second home. We go there. So at first it was Toronto.
Wait, hold on. Can I just say asterisk because we've done events there? Okay?
Yes.
Not because we're such a fan of the team and hate the Red Bulls.
Okay, just to clarify with people. No, we've done shows there. We were at the World Cup Comedy Tour. I had a stop there and we went to the All-Star Game. And we've
done the Red Clay Comedy Festival. That was our first time we've ever done a comedy festival as the Cooligans, which was awesome.
Exactly.
And I've done Laughing Skull, and it's just a fun place to go and hang out. And we've performed out there, and we have a lot of fans there, and we absolutely love the fans there. And look, also, if we have Red Bull fans that are listening, maybe they're not listening to this episode, maybe you are. Do we get you guys are upset, and we get that this is a rough loss after a great season? But, you know, this is the beauty of soccer. Shit moves on. You got next season to go to. And, you know, to the guy who called us the Douchigans, it's like, you could do better than that.
Yeah, maybe.
We're trying.
We're not the worst people. I mean, douchey is, that's a stretch. I think we're far from that.
I thought Fooligans, you know?
Fooligans,
there you
yeah.
go.
So we'll try better for next season, right?
Yeah, you go get a notebook, my guy. Start coming up with some better ones. You got a little off season to develop.
Exactly. So, so that's it, everybody. I mean, the next time you're tuning in, actually, we can announce this. This week coming up, we're going to have the people who will be calling the MLS Cup final. John Strong and Stu Holden are going to be coming in studio, and we're going to hang out with them and see what they're excited about. And this is exciting for John Strong because he was the play-by-play announcer for Portland for a long time, and now he gets to call an MLS Cup final with them.
We know this is exciting for Stu Holden because Stu Holden gets excited about everything.
That's
you could give that guy a ketchup packet and he'd entertain himself for an hour.
Stu Holden is the Jimmy Fallon of soccer.
He really is. He absolutely is.
Oh, that's so great, man. Oh, that's so great.
That's so cool. That's so great. What's that? I want to test this. I might bring a laser pointer into the studio and see if you'll chase it around. That kid's got a lot of energy.
So both those guys are going to be on the show. And if you have any questions or anything, you maybe want us to ask them or whatever, or you just want to, hear us talk a bunch of smack with them, you can listen on Wednesday. So again, thank you to everyone who helped make these episodes possible. The Gully Squad. If you want to join the Gully Squad, go to soccercooligans.com, click on the Join the Gully Squad button. And there's for a small donation, a small show of support, you can help the Cooligans grow. And there's also fun rewards. You can play us on Play Us in FIFA, or, you know, you can help. You can make suggestions for things that we should talk about.
And you can get in the super secret group, which might not even exist. I might be making this up.
Who knows?
Legally, but I'm not allowed to say.
But in the super secret group, just to let people know, give a little sneak peek, there in the super secret group that may or may not exist, there are conversations about things that we're planning for 2019 that we would appreciate input on, you know. And should I say more than that? And let's say I'll say this. If the Cooligans were ever to design a shirt that soccer players could wear while they play, that is sort of a conversation that's currently going on over what that shirt should look like. And if you want to help contribute some input, you can join the Gully Squad and be a part of those conversations.
Yeah, real good hint.
That's a hint. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Okay?
God forbid you figure that one out. So what is this, Blue's Clues?
So look, it means the world to us. The people who are already a part of it are the best, and we can we're growing this community, and it's been really, really exciting. So
and this may not come as a surprise to you guys, but the group is hilarious. It's so much fun to be in that group.
Exactly. All right. So guys, thank you so much for listening. And we'll be back on Wednesday with another hot episode. You guys are the absolute best. We appreciate you. For the teams that did not make it into the MLS Cup final, we feel bad. Our Sporting Kansas City friends, Kuz, the whole Kuzer family, I know you're devastated. I know it hurts. It is very hard. So close, but
we're thinking about you, Kuz.
We're thinking about you, man. So all the best to all you guys. And so we'll see you next week. So, guys, my name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we? The
Cooligans!